aggravated by my work, which is about 2 miles from the ocean. It is foggy as fuck. I can't see anything. You know the worst part? I clean my car, and I got to keep it clean for Uber purposes. But like this shit, this shit cakes all over the fucking glass in the window. I don't know what it is. It's like you can't. It's just like muck. It almost looks like it's fog that's on your window but won't come off. It's like, I don't know, like somebody hosed your car down with shit. I can't stand it. Like, I can't fucking see shit out of my window. I just cleaned my car the other day. Cars. I wish I had one of my Scott Murphy. I don't have more than one car. You know, yesterday I get out of work. And, here's how my work works. There's my, like, immediate boss who's always out shooting. Then there's his dad. They own the company. The dad, the old man, who I always kindly refer to as the old man, who's just a joy. He lives in fucking another state. He lives out in Idaho. So he only comes around once every couple months. So he's like fucking 80 or something. And he's in town. There's a bar down at the corner of the street. It's like a sports bar. Divey sports bar. It looks like straight out of fucking The Departed. It looks like an old Boston, grimy ass, greasy food, shitty Christmas lights. You know, like, just sports, just kind of shitty TVs everywhere, just classic. I mean, how much more, what am I, Ernest Hemingway? How much more am I going to fucking describe this place? So, like, they ask me to go get a drink all the time. I don't know what the fucking story is with this bar, but it's like the fucking, the bar on the Overlook. Like, it just has this power over me. This has happened 2 times. That's why I don't like going there anymore. If I have one drink at this place, I'm fucked for the rest of the night. Anything I was going to do goes out the goddamn window, and I'm already, like, behind. I'm behind on self-imposed things that I want to get done, just the things that I demand of myself, and then I just feel like shit when I don't do them, even though nothing will happen when I don't do them, except, you know, self-hatred. And I had all this shit to do, and I knew, and it's, I didn't have a lot of time to do it, because I really wanted to do a fucking mic last night, and I haven't done stand-up in like 2 weeks, and I wanted to get up there at like 10, so if I hauled ass and worked out right after work and got home and changed, I would have done some fucking, stand-up. It's what I do. It's my job. It's what I'm good at. It's what people pay to see me for, because, you know, I'm a professional and I'm funny, you know. But I guess I'm saying, you know, I do that too much. Too much of a fucking stalwart. I gotta at least come up with a different one. So, like, they want me to go get a drink, like, all the time, and I don't want to be like, you know, I love drinking, but it's like they want me to go at like 6, which is like, just even if I have one, which for some reason is oddly impossible at this fucking place, it's still gonna fuck my night up, because it's gonna be 45 minutes. By the time I get out, it's gonna be 7. I'm across town, and there's the worst traffic, literally the worst traffic in America. That's why this is live from the 405. So I'm an hour from any place I gotta be. So it's just, it fucks everything up. I didn't want to go, but like it was an occasion because the old man was there, and I didn't know if they were gonna talk about some kind of fucking, I don't know if like business talk was gonna happen. So I'm like, all right, fine, I'll go. And I just fucking, we were there just long enough, like just about an hour. Now it's like 6:45. I got a fucking buzz going, and I just wanted to go work out and do stand. I really wanted to get back on the roll, because I haven't even, I'm under the wire to work out now. Now I'm down to fucking 3 days if I want to get it done by the weekend. No, not even, because I can't go tonight, because I'm going to see fucking Fitzdog's 500th podcast episode at the Comedy Store with Heather Mullooly. So I'm fucked now. Now I got to do Thursday, Friday, and probably get up early Saturday morning before fucking work. Fuck, man. That fuck me. Anyways, I just knew it, there was like an insurrection in my brain that was like, no, we don't want to fucking, I don't want to be responsible and work out and do the, fuck it, let's just go home and fuck off, let's just watch fucking, you know what I really want to do for some reason, like the rebellion, you know, the irresponsibility rebellion that's trying to take over wanted me to just go and get fucking, because it's probably on sale by this time, I would just go get that new Mad Max and just drink and watch that Mad Max, because I want to see it again. But so this fucking bar fucked it all up. So I go home and I'm just like, I don't know, just one drink like made me tired and shit. Now it's, I get home, it's like 7:38, and then Brandon's fucking, I don't know, I kind of wanted to go out after that, because I was driving away with a little bit of a fucking buzz. I do this every time. Hang on, I'm hot. I get hot when I do this fucking show. This never happens. Let me take my sweater off. Hang on a second.
Just hang on a goddamn second, will you? You demanding sons of bitches. A man has to take his sweater off, don't you understand? I'm at a red light. Oh, now the fucking light's green. I'm driving with one arm, one hand. Now my fucking seatbelt's off. This is a fucking disaster. This is a goddamn shame and a disaster.
So, what the fuck was I saying? You're saying, what are you saying? Damn it, Jerry, I'm not talking about your damn guarantees. So, he wanted to go out, and he's like, dude, come on, let's go to fucking bowling alley. And, we'll get, here's his, now, we knew what was going to happen, but he tried to pitch it to me as, because you know him, he always wants to go out and fucking drink. And, he's like, dude, there's always tons of hot chicks up at the bowling alley, it's Tuesday night. Because, well, you know, I mean, he called it, he's like, probably because you're going there, won't be. Of course, they're wrong. We got there, there's like fucking 12 people in the whole place. And, what's the difference? I'm not going to, I have no fucking powers in that place. Just like that bar has the power to fuck up my night with one drink, the bowling alley has the power of just fucking pussy repulsion, which is really the theme of my life right now. More than I can ever remember ever. I have never, the fucking dump trucks of rejection that are just piling onto the Lukester are fucking unfathomable. Like, I might as well have leprosy. This is just fucking insane, but more about that later. I don't know. Long story short, we went to Jerry's, had one fucking drink. We did like a local Valley Bar bounce, and we ended up at fucking Bar One, which I've never been at, which is really close to our place. And it looks like how would I describe this? It kind of looks like, have you ever been to the Velvet Margarita in Hollywood? It looks like that. It's real fucking divey. Man, is it foggy? Shit. Oh my god. Oh, this traffic's gonna stink. It kind of looks like a smaller dive version of, like, the Velvet Margarita. It's just like a Mexican fucking cantina type place. And, oh, go hang out there. And, like, they got this crazy, like, karaoke guy. But, like, for only being about 20 people in here, like, 9 of them were fucking hot chicks. Like, I was like, holy shit. And not even, like, out of your league hot. They were, like, sexy and in good shape and, like, attractive. But not, like, supermodel. So it wasn't like you couldn't get them or something. You know what I'm saying? It was like perfect. It was like a perfect. They were like punk rock and tattooed and shit. I was like, holy shit. I got to fucking come back here. The only problem is they don't serve. They only do it. It's like a beer and wine place. But, you know, whatever. What do I know? But so, yeah, that fucked up everything yesterday. And I just went to bed. You know, feeling. I didn't get a very good night's sleep. Suck. You know what happened to me 2 nights ago? Hang on just a goddamn second. I woke up in the middle. There's a little Cyndi Lauper for you. Fucking, I was having a bunch of dreams, and then I had this. This is like one of the craziest like nightmares I've ever had in my life. Out of nowhere, I got this really quick flash of like, have you ever seen Evil Dead? And it shows that Sam Raimi cam where it looks like the fucking, like that force is coming after. You know, it's like just a camera flying through the woods. And then it'll fly into like the camper door and slam the door. Like that thing. Like that, just like that ghost force or whatever that's coming at you. I had a dream that came like racing through the apartment and like into my bedroom and like got me. And I fucking screamed. Dude, I woke up kicking and screaming like at the top of my lungs. I'm like, ah. And I was kicking my feet in the air like someone was trying to get on top of me. And I was just like, I'm like, dude, I mean, loud. I was fucking like screaming in terror. And my first thought was like, I hope no one heard that. And like the next day, Brandon's like, dude, did you scream last night? I was like, oh, it was like 3:30 in the morning. I was so fucking embarrassed. I was like, what the fuck was that? And I would do like, I couldn't like catch my breath. I was like fucking, I haven't had one of those in a long time. I used to have the shit when I was a kid. But fuck, that was scary. And then like, I couldn't go to sleep for like an hour. And I'm up reading about fucking Wyatt Earp. Because I just get on these Wikipedia tears. Here's some interesting Wyatt Earp facts. He was like he did like every job you could think. This guy had the craziest fucking life. He really lived La Vida Loca. He was a well-known like sports officiator in like the mid-1800s. And like in 1868, he refereed this giant national. This should be like the Ronda Rousey fight of 1868. He officiated this fight in front of 3,000 people. And he was the boxing ref between. I'm like, first of all, is it a ring? Is it an actual boxing ring? Or is it just like they're out in a field with some fucking ropes and shit around it? Like, or is there even ropes? Is it just like a human, you stand in a big circle and if they, like a fucking mosh pit, and if they fall on you, they push you. How does that work? How do you see it if you're not in the first like 6 fucking rows? Two. Like if you're the 3,000th person, all you see is 2 little dots on the horizon. It sounds like they had fucking jumbotrons. And shit, I'm just like, how did that work? I don't know. That was so like, I didn't even know that many. I didn't even know they had boxing back that long ago. And I didn't know that many people. I don't know. I guess 3,000 ain't that many, but still, I mean, for just word of mouth or like the local newspaper or something like that. And I guess he officiated the fight, and he made a really sketchy call because he was a fucking big gambler and shit. And it like marred him for the rest of his life. Like the thing that he was most known for was throwing that fight. I mean, that was like fucking Arnold Rothstein throwing the fucking, what was it, the World Series in the 20s? Like, it was that big of a fucking scandal. People, like, hated him for it. He was, like, and then he ran himself out of the business doing that. No one trusted him again. But that stuck with him, like, forever. People were like, oh, he's a scumbag. He's a scumbag! Go! But, that, and here's another weird fucking fact. John Wayne based his entire persona, his walk, his talk, everything, that whole character, from Wyatt Earp, because he knew him. Because when he was fucking playing college football, his coach was like friends with Wyatt Earp. And he would I don't know, I guess he was friends with his coach and they would all hang out. And John Wayne picked up his whole thing from Wyatt Earp. Isn't it fucking weird how like that, like, I mean, Wyatt Earp, like the mid-1800s famous gunfighter, there's still like echoes of that dude's life that like affected us. Because, you know, you watch John Wayne movies, weren't that long ago. His last movie was like fucking, what, 78 or some shit? I don't know, I found that fucking so fascinating. But I'm a lot of wider effects. Oh, and then I had a dream that I was in such a fucking deep sleep. I had this dream I went to Mark Maron's house, but his house just kept getting bigger and bigger, like it was this big fucking like the fucking Winchester house or something, and I was getting lost in it. And he had all these fucking poisonous cats that if they bit you, you would die. And like they were all, but I'd be in the room and they'd be hanging out in the room, just kind of hanging around. I'm like, oh, there's those cats. They hope they don't fucking... And of course, eventually they try to like bite you and get you, because that's how your fucking dreams work. I don't know. That's how mine do. Because it'll always be... One of my classics that I ever had was like, I always had this fucking dream growing up. And it was always in my grandma's house. I would always have a fucking dream that... when we were kids growing up, it would be me and my brother, my mom, my dad, whatever. And then it'd be my mom's brother's family, like all my cousins. There was like three or four of them. And like Christmas, we'd all be at my grandma's. And I'd always hit, and it wasn't her house in reality, but it was always the same house in the dream. And I don't know where I got this like dream house layout from, but it was always the same. And that there was a room upstairs that was locked because there was like ghosts locked in the room. And like they'd just be like, yeah, don't go up there, don't mess with that door because there's the ghost in there. But like, I just know they were there, and the whole time in my dream, I'd just be like, oh man, there's that fucking room up. What if the ghosts get out, you know? I don't know if they ever did. I don't remember them ever getting out. Just knowing they were there, just like disturbed. It didn't bother anyone else. No one else noticed this. And like sometimes I'd like go up and I'd look down. It was like the Lost Souls room in a fucking Beetlejuice. But I used to always have that one. But I don't know. Maybe they did get out. I don't know. But of course the cat's coming after me. And this one was like fucking going crazy and trying to bite me. And I was holding its head by its neck. But I kept like ducking its face down, like, and his teeth were almost hitting my hand where I was holding it. It was fucked up, and I woke up all at Mark Maron's house. What the fuck kind of fucking dream is that? What am I, a fucking retard? Don't answer that. Oh, look at this traffic. Yeah, I'm trying to get home because I gotta get changed because I totally forgot this thing was tonight. It's a fucking at the store. I'm driving into work. I'm in fucking shorts and a t-shirt. I'm like, fuck that thing, because Maruli bought the tickets, not me, and she bought them like 2 weeks ago. And I totally forgot. She didn't give me a fucking heads up, that motherfucker. But, yeah, I'm trying to get up there. Give me notes. Okay. This weekend I went to, this is nuts. So, as you know, I'm trying to get in with, Adam Carolla. I'm getting there. I've been working live gigs for him for free. So, they're doing a show in Fresno, which is 3 hours north. And I haven't worked with him in almost 2 months already, so I don't want to, you know, slip off the goddamn radar. So I'm like, listen, I'll come up. Fresno was the third date. They did Napa, Sacramento, and then Fresno, and then they're coming home. They flew up, and then they rented a car. So I fucking take off work and then elect to drive myself up there, which is a fucking whole tank. That was a full tank of gas. So I'm losing, you know, this is costing me money to go do this. But here's the thing. I love those guys. I love working those live shows. It's so fucking fun. It's like so cool. It's such an intimate little crew. They're all so fucking, I love all those guys. All the guys you hear in the show, like, they're all fucking super nice. Like, so I get up there and, fucking nice drive, man. You take the 5, and then I got on the 99, I think. And it's just like, you just go through like, it looks like the fucking ending of Death Proof. In fact, I think that might have been where they, I know they filmed it up going towards San Francisco, but It's just like rolling hill. It's just cool. It's just, you know, just fucking scenic. And then I remember I used to fucking, I hadn't been on this part of the five since I used to go and bang this chick on this army base. I don't know if I ever fucking told this story. I think I met her on MySpace or something. And she was like, this chick was so fucking cute, man. She was hot. She was in good shape. And she was into like metal and stuff. And I don't know, we became friends. And she was like divorced from some fucking army guy who like beat her and shit. But he was like, I don't know, he was off in fucking some other country. And she was just like home with the fucking house. And like she had a kid, but I never saw this fucking kid. This chick was like fucking 21 and she had like a couple year old kid. I was like, holy shit, what a whore. But I used to go up there and then we would hang out and like drink and shit and then just fuck. And we're like, oh my God, we're the best. She was so hot. She had these fucking big angel wings tattooed on her back. They're huge. Oh, she was so sexy. What a great ass. God, I totally forgot about this. I used to fuck her doggy style. And her ass, she had like a pear shaped ass and just like hips you could put your fucking hands around and touch your fingers together. She was sexy as fuck. She was fun too, man. We used to get so fucked up, man. I used to get so drunk with that chick, like blackout fucking drunk almost. And I would just drive home hungover. And I would always stop at this one fucking Arby's. Because that's good hangover food. I'd get the fucking mozzarella sticks and the fucking curly fries. But I hadn't been up there. So now, to make the story even scummier, I was living with a fucking girl at the time. The chick that I moved out to fucking California with, who I didn't like. It was a mistake to move with her because, you know, I was never in love with her. And the whole time when we met, we had the plan to break up a year in because I was moving to LA and she said she didn't want to go. And at the last minute, she says yes. And within 1 week of getting here, I was like, oh, this is a mistake. I should have listened to my dad because he told me not to. So I was stuck with her. And by this time, I mean, we were already kind of hitting the skids before I moved. I was with her for a year, and then, like, I guess every relationship's like this. The first 6-8 months were fucking great, you know? We got along, and I don't know, and she started, like, just the usual bickering and all that kind of bullshit. And I don't know, by the time I was getting ready to move, I don't know if it was the pressure of the move or what, but she was a fucking just raving cuntaholic. She was always pissed off and just starting. She'd be a miserable fucking drive out here. Oh, it's awful. Her face was cute. Her body was just not the most. She was just had like a linebacker body. She had a square ass. She wasn't terribly sexy. She had an awful tattoo on her tits. Oh my God. I think she got it taken off. I think she told me that later on. But she was pretty, but she just was. Whatever. This is a whole other. I can do a whole fucking podcast on just me and this fucking woman. But, I wasn't into her anymore. I didn't want to. I was like not sexually attracted at all. We never fucked. If I did, I couldn't keep my fucking dick hard for her. I would have to think of Brandon like in a bathing suit or something, all oiled up and shit, and that would get me going a little bit. But, I was kind of cheating on her, man. And I would go up and see this fucking girl. Now, at the time, this is fucking perfect. At the time, my job was, I was moving furniture. This is after I did Mission Impossible. Yeah, this is after. I was working this job. I couldn't get a job. After I did Mission Impossible, the only contacts I had to get me jobs on movies were all out of state working on, like, features. Like, not in L.A. So I had fucking no work. I had nothing. And, my unemployment ran out. I needed a fucking job. Like, now I had literally zero income coming in. I'm like, I'm fucked. So I had to take a job. I got a job moving furniture. That's enough for a whole another fucking podcast. That was a crazy era, man. The first 2 years I was in LA. 2003? Yeah, 2004 to 2007, yeah. That was a weird time. But I got a job moving furniture. And a lot of the time they sent us upstate. I got sent to fucking Seattle. We do like long distance moves, me and this one dude. Cleo, the one-eyed black guy who lost his eye in prison, who was like 45 years old. And listen to 70s funk. I've talked about him before. Grizzled old fucking black guy Cleo just chain fucking smoke cigarettes. Never stopped. So I would be able to go fuck this chick and stay over. And I would tell my girlfriend that I got a fucking gig moving. So I'm like, oh yeah, I'm moving somebody up to fucking San Francisco. I'll be back Sunday. And I would just go and hang out with her. You know, it was a cover. So one time I went up and this fucking chick was wild. And we were wasted. And I didn't realize what was happening. She fucking scratched the worst, besides fucking punk rock Liz in Buffalo with those big fat tits of hers. No girl ever scratched me up this bad. I mean, I was like fucking, it looked like somebody whipped me with a fucking cat of nine tails. I was like, oh, I got up in the morning to fucking piss. I was in good fucking shape back then too. And fucking, hey, fuck you. I'm not as much anymore. I was younger. This was 10 years ago. Fuck, it was 10 years ago. God damn it. Oh, I'm getting fucking old. God, I'm fucking closing in on 40. What happened? How did this happen? I'm making at least a little bit more money. No, it wasn't. But I was like, I go to take a piss, and I was like, oh, shit, look at my fucking back. Oh, my God, what the fuck? So this is the story I came up with. I had to tell her that we had to hold, because usually it was just me and Cleo, the black guy. It's Cleo. I told her that we had to fucking hoist a couch down from a second-story window, and the only way I could, like, catch it was to stand in these, this is a good story, stand in the fucking bushes down there, and I got all scratched up by the fucking bushes because I was standing in them. But, I guess she bought it, but that was a close one. But, yeah, that was the last time I've been up in that part of the five. It just made me think of that whole fucking time I used to go, I miss that fucking chick. I wonder what she's up to. I haven't seen her in a long time. What the fuck was her name? I don't remember what her name was. Was it Vanessa? She's hot. She had like fucking skate, punk rock kind of skater hair. Oh, God, she was gorgeous. She was a fucking pretty girl. Anyways, I get up there. I got up there a little early. I get to the fucking theater and it's dark. The show starts in like, they set up 2 hours before showtime. So it's 8. They get up there to set up at 6. I got there at fucking 10 after 5. And I don't see any. The theater's dark. There's not one fucking poster. Nothing outside. I see no advertisement for the show. And I'm like, oh my God. Did they change the venue and not? Did I get the address wrong? I was fucking, for like 2 minutes, I couldn't get any goddamn internet reception. I'm desperately trying to find the fucking address. Again, double check online. I'm like, did I fuck this up? I don't know. It was the right place, but they just, I don't know. There's no posters. There was no average, nothing. There wasn't shit. So it was a pretty fucking big theater. It was probably like an 800-seater. And it was almost all the way full. There's only a couple rows in the back. But I'm like, fuck. So I text Dawson. I'm like, where are you guys? And he's like, oh, we're next door. Come over and have a drink. I go to walk in the place. And it's all like windows in the front where you can see inside the restaurant. And they're in the corner. And it's right as soon as I look in and walk by, I see Dawson stands up and waves. And he's sitting at a big table. It's Dawson, Adam, Gina, Ball Bryan, Gary, hi Gary, and Mike August, and like one of Dawson's friends. Like they're all sitting. I mean, Adam's never. I've never seen him like out hang with. He's like, he comes in at the last minute and leaves as soon as he can. You never see him hang with the crew. And I'm like, holy shit, they're all there. The whole cast is there. I was like, holy shit. So as soon as I fucking did, fucking dog, what a fucking stand up guy. As soon as I come in, he's like, Adam, this is Luke. He just drove all the way up here from LA to work on a show. He's been doing our live shows. He's like, hey, you drove off here from Fresno to work for free? So what the hell's wrong with you? He's like, sit down, eat something. You hungry? You want anything? And I was like, I actually fucking had just eaten. I was like, I'm gonna just get a drink or something. He's like, hey, you ever had fried, what was it, fried zucchini? I think it was fried. He's like, you ever had fried green beans? And I was like, no. And he's like, hey, I don't hear you want them. I think they gave him one on accident. And I was like, sure. And they actually weren't bad. I never would have ordered those in my life, but it just tasted like deep fried something. And I was just like, wow, that was so fucking cool. I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting like right next to him and shit. I'm just sitting with him, bald, fucking Gina. I couldn't believe that. I was not expecting that at all. He's like, I was the traffic. I was like, oh, it was bad. I got here pretty quick. But that was fucking pretty sweet. So there's like no auxiliary crew. Like, this is pretty fucking tight. It's a big theater. And the soundboards and shit are up on a balcony at one end. And then the green room and everything else is all the fucking way down the theater backstage. So it's a pretty, you know, it's not like a little club where if you need something, you just run from, you know, it's only a couple feet until you're at where you got to be. It's a big place. I couldn't believe they didn't have anybody else. Like, they just had fucking Gary Haftar doing everything. And so I'm right away, I'm like, oh, dude, this is a good move. Because, like, they're going to need, they could fucking use a hand in this place. They don't have anybody, so. I don't know, I've just been lucky like that. Like, most of the times they've needed me, there's been something weird that happened where, like, I really, like, helped out by being there and shit. So it's fucking pretty sweet. Stan says it's pretty sweet. Stan, you know, Grossman. And I remember last time I did, I took copious pictures and notes of Bald Brian's sound machine. I got the whole fucking sound machine all set up, and Gary comes out and he's like, holy shit. He's like, did you set this up? And I was like, yeah. He's like, how the fuck did you know how to do that? I showed him. He's like, that's really cool. He's like, dude, I'm going to be out of a job. Like, be careful. I was like, no, dude, they'll bump you up and give me your job. We shared a fucking good natured laugh. But yeah, I was fucking just hanging out. And then me and Dawson, and Dawson's like, buddy, we're just fucking hanging out with Gina just backstage in like the green room and shit. Bullshit. She's so fucking, Gina. I'm not a fan of her on the show, but she's a fucking, she's such a nice lady. She's such a super lady. God, I'm so full of Fargo references this episode. So like, hanging out. Like, this fucking poor guy, Dawson. He takes his job so fucking seriously. Like, he's so into like audio production and like, he's just like an audio nerd. So he's so into this shit. And he's such a like perfectionist and just very, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's been doing this shit forever. He used to be a roadie. He was telling me all shit. He used to be like a roadie for, he used to go all over the place with bands. And so he was like a tech, you know. Everything's fucking dialed in. Everything. All the mics. We did do all the fucking mic tests. 3 mics on the stage. Everything works fine. And I go up into like the balcony thing with those guys up in the, where the fucking, you know, soundboards and shit are. And they come out and like just Adam's mic just goes out. Like, it just fucking worked 2 seconds ago. What happened? Why isn't it working? So we're like, shit. So I was going to go out into the crowd because they do Q&As where the audience fills out question cards. And then they write, or like, what can Adam complain about? And they'll be like, they'll write their thing down and somebody collects them and takes them all up. And then Bald Brian reads them. So I was going to be the fucking audience mic guy. So they're going to give me the wireless. And when they're like, this question comes from Steve Johnson. Steve Johnson, you hear? And the guy stands up. I got to run over and give him the mic. So that was going to be my job. So we had 2 wireless mics for some reason. I guess they were backup mics. Fucking Adam's mic goes out for like 5 minutes. And no one really, I don't know, because they were up there trying to like fix it. And then people just started yelling like, your mic's off. And he's like, oh, what the hell's going on? So I had to fucking, well, I gave, you know, Gary ran him the mic, not me. But Gary gives him wireless mic number 1. So 10 fucking minutes, we're getting ready to do Q&As. I'm down there waiting in the wings. He's like, all right, take the mic and go down there. And then when they call their name, just, you know, go up to them and say, make sure they get the mic close to their mouth. I was like, yeah, I know. So I'm waiting. Then fucking then Gina's mic goes out too. And we're just, Dawson's just fucking, everyone's freaking out and shit. They're just trying to get the fucking, they were like, how, they were just working. It was just so ridiculous. I couldn't fucking believe it happened. That's the second time. Well, no, that happened, because I wanted to go up and do those shows. What were they, in Portland? No, it wasn't that far. It was, I think it was drivable. I just couldn't make it. But I think like a month ago, there was some show up that way, and the same fucking thing happened at that show. And I mean, I was listening to it in my car, and I hear the mics go, and I'm like, oh, fucking poor Dawson. It's so weird. There's nothing you can. And then afterwards, I'm like, what happens? Like, fucking, I don't know. Oh, ghost in the machine. But so I didn't end up doing the audience. Like, I had to give away the fucking wireless. But then like, I start working more with Mike August, that's Adam's. That's like his right hand man. He takes care of all this, like the money and the. He does all the bookings and all that kind of shit. And he's like, you want to do merch for us? And I'm like, yeah. You know, he's like, we'll set up the merch table. So he gives me all the stuff. So I had to go out in the lobby about 3/4 of the way through the show and like fucking set up the whole, you know, the mangria and the t-shirts and all that kind of shit. And there's like fans that are starting to pile up out there. And they're asking me all these like really specific questions. And I'm like, I don't know. They're like, how much is all this stuff? And I had to keep running up and like asking Gary. I didn't know if the table was... They kind of just like left me hanging. I was like, I got to set up the best I could. Like the usher lady's, well, how do you want to have the line go? Because after every show, Adam hangs out and signs, takes pictures and signs. And it's like you, it's almost like exit through the gift shop. You come out and you go past the merch table and him. And he signs the stuff at the merch table. So you can buy a fucking shirt right there and he'll sign it. And I'm trying to like strategically fucking, they told me to kind of hang around strategically. That was for RJ, American movie. I'm trying to figure out the best way to do this, because there's like 800 people and they all have to line up. So if you don't get this thing right, it's going to be fucking chaos. So I'm just like, she's like, well, where do you want the table? How do you want this to go? I'm like, I don't know, man. They just told me to set this up. So it was all fucking, it was like a debacle. I don't know. It turned out okay, but I was just like, they really left me with kind of a lot of shit. They're just kind of like, now they're just kind of like throwing stuff to me. Like, here, go take care of it, which is cool. I'm like, sweet, you know? But, so it was kind of a fucking, it was a lot of old people, older like white people and shit in the audience. It wasn't a lot of young people. I was getting fucking for the buckets of rejection that have been dumping on the Lukester from every fucking facet of LA. I was getting some fucking look. I worked out. Okay, it's everyone set your clocks for the douche minute. I worked just because of time constraints. I had to work out 3 days in a row, which I never fucking, you know, which I never do. I usually do two and a day or two off, and then I do, you know, the other one, because you don't want to exhaust everything. But I don't know what hit me. I hadn't done it in a long time, and I just went fucking nuts last week, and I was just fucking tearing it up. And like, I looked fucking jacked, son, by the fucking that night, because I worked out Saturday afternoon and went straight up there. And by the fucking end of the night, I was looking mad swole, nigga. And I was getting some looks from some of the fucking, there was a couple fucking pretty girls, and they would walk by, I was getting those little fucking smiles and shit. I was like, what's up? Yeah, chalk one up. I mean, nothing happened. I didn't get laid, nothing. And this is the other problem with, I love working with those guys, but they're all old, and they're all like married and shit. So no one wants to hang after. I'm like, I'm kind of thinking like, fuck, if Adam wasn't like, I wish it was like 15 years ago, Adam, because he'd probably hang after. We could all drink up here. It was Saturday night. I didn't have, you know, it's Saturday, you ain't got shit to do. I didn't have to, you know, I didn't have nothing to do Sunday. But, you know, those hopes were dashed because everyone just wants to get the fuck out and go. Plus, they're at the end of a three-day tour, and they probably wanted to leave. And I was like, fuck, that would have been cool if I could have hung out and drank with the crew. Anyways, they're getting ready to set up, and it was kind of a strangely rowdy crowd. A lot of yelling and shit. And I mean, there's kind of a cash bar before, so people were probably a little bit lit up. But I'm fucking back. I'm getting ready to go as soon as, you know, the show's over and Adam's back in the green room, and I'm getting ready to break the stage down. And August is like, what are you doing for the he's like, what are you doing for the during the merch signing? And I was like, oh, I was just gonna tear the stage down. He's like, why don't you come up and hang out with us? Like, I'm like fucking Luca Brasi. So I had to go up and like stand behind Adam like that fucking guy in Godfather 2 with the hat that doesn't, he doesn't get one line, the one that tries to fucking kill what's his name down in Cuba? Fucking Hyman. What's he trying to put the fucking pillow over Hyman Roth's face, and he gets shot in the head by the fucking Cuban police. But I just kind of stood there looking like a badass, so no one would fuck around. But I don't know, it was kind of cool. He fucking, August hired me to be the fucking enforcer. He was hanging out. But yeah, so I had to, now they're all fucking crammed. They're driving home in an Escalade that they rented. They're all, the whole fucking crew is jammed in this thing. I had a feeling it was gonna happen too. And Dawson's like, hey man, I think I can ride home with you. He's like, I got fucking car sick in that thing. Which the older I get, the more prone to car sickness I get. I get motion sickness from everything. I swear, man, I get so car sick and shit so easily. But I do too in the back seat. I know exactly what he's talking about. That fucking, man, you get motion sick, that shit stays with you. Like, even if you get it a little bit, it's a good 45 minutes to shake it off. For me, anyway, I don't know. But I've heard other fucking people say that. And, he's like, I was fucking, he's like, I'm still recovering, dude. He's like, we drove down to Napa. I thought I was going to puke. I'm like, yeah, man, fucking ride home with me. So I fucking followed, I thought it was cool. We were just hanging out outside waiting for, like, the guys to wrap up. And I was, like, bullshitting with Bob Ryan about, like, Trumbo and Bridge of Spies, just because he's a big movie nerd. This is way more details than we need. I'm sorry. I'm filling time a little bit because I don't know how quickly these other topics are going to go. But I drove home. Fucking me and Dawson drove home. The fucking just followed Adam in the truck. It was cool. And, you know, Mike's a big classic rock guy. So I didn't really have anything to listen to. I made him listen to fucking Mars Volta. I think he hated it. But we put on the fucking AC/DC Pandora station. And I hate classic rock. I hate it. I hate it as much as I hate Christmas music. Especially classic rock Christmas music. But like, get the fuck away from me with this fucking lawnmower next to me. I hate the sound. You know what bothers me the most? Number one, I don't like that fucking AM radio sound to it, where it's not really mixed. And they just record everything with like, nothing's like individually mic'd, and they didn't have like, I mean, it is, but like, would they all do it at once? I forgot however they record. I don't like how it sounds so old to me. It sounds like it's from another fucking century. I hate the audio quality of it. And I hate the drums. Because besides like a handful of fucking bands like Led Zeppelin, or maybe The Who, you fucking, the drums are so muffled. You can't even, the cymbals like in the background, and it's like, it's so, there's no like balls to the drums. There's no fucking, they're not in the mix. They just sound so flat and shitty. It sounds like they recorded the mic track by using like the singer's microphone and just let the fucking drum sound feed back into that mic, and that was the drum track. You can't even hear it. It sounds like shit. And I'm all about fucking drum. That's all I've ever heard my whole life. I was a drum guy. I don't know. It was just fucking ingrained in me. But Yeah, I hate this. It's just you can't even hear like a hi-hat. It must be a fucking drum machine. Yuck. But fuck, I hate it. So fucking, I hate classic rock. We put on the fucking AC/DC station, and like fucking Pandora is terrible, dude. Who programs these stations? They're so bad. It was AC, like you heard one AC/DC song like every 40 minutes. The only other fucking tracks you got were like, there was such fucking a hack classic rock. It was every song you hear every day on a goddamn classic rock. It was like Stairway to or no, we didn't even get fucking Led Zeppelin. Amazingly, we got like the Hotel California from the Eagles. Like in a row, we got like, I swear to God, like finally he's like, this station, who the fuck is programming this? I was like, yeah, man, there's not one fucking deep track on here. It was Hotel California. It's been a long day, and I hate the fucking Eagles, man. Freebird, fucking Leonard Skinner, and what's it? Renegade from Styx. Right in a row. I was like, every song we're both like, oh my god, what the fuck? It was just so unimaginative. None of them. What the fuck? Did Styx and AC/DC? They're not even close. Like they had like Aerosmith and shit. I guess that kind of makes sense. They had fucking Living on a Prayer from Bon Jovi comes on. I'm like, what? How the fuck does this have anything to do with AC/DC? Where's like, see, I think they played one ZZ Top song. It was awful. I was so fucking annoyed because I hate all that shit anyways. But like, they didn't even fucking try. The station was so fucking lackluster. It fucking blew. But I don't know. Oh, who the fuck? I was trying to remember what song it was. I should have wrote it down, but it was hard because I was driving. I forgot what it was. It was a famous classic rock song. But like, the guys, I never realized how terrible this guy's voice was. The singer of like his famous, he was just like, he just like talk sang, kind of like what's his face that just croaked, the one that everyone said was an asshole, the Velvet Underground guy. What's his name? Lou Reed. It was something like that. Like it was just some singer, and I was like, I can't believe how famous. I don't know why. It was just because like, there was a good like, I don't know, half hour, 4 minutes, like we just kind of didn't talk. It was just getting late. We're just fucking burned out. And like the music just, all I had, the only thing I had to entertain me was this music. So I'm just like analyzing the shit out of these songs, sort of. Oh man, who was it? It was so bad. Like the guy wasn't even trying. I was like, this guy's a anyone can fucking do this. I mean, singing wise, whatever. But fucking, if you ever drove on the 5, man, it's like, I think half of it had to do with that I was tired, but like it's really hilly, and there's a lot of just crazy. It'll be like it's like fucking 6-7 lanes across. But like they're old fucking beat up roads kind of, and like they're just going on these hills, and like I was having so much trouble seeing the road, like just the way the car's coming from the other way, how the fucking light, because it's like it's almost in the mountains, and there's not a lot of street lights, so it's dark, and like just the way the fucking road, like the lights from the oncoming cars were hitting the road on certain like almost like blind turns kind of, I couldn't, like there was a couple times where I was like, I could see like 2 feet in front of me, I'm doing like 80 miles an hour. And I couldn't see where the fuck I was going. All of a sudden, there'd be a turn, and I would, like, jerk the wheel and shit. And I was like, I can't fucking see. I can't, this is awful. Like, what a fucking badly designed, like, get some fucking lights out there, California. It was scaring the shit out of me. I know a couple times, I think once he was like, whoa. I was like, sorry. But, I don't know. It was kind of other than that, it was kind of an uneventful drive home. But, no, wait, I'm missing things. Let me fucking see. Hang on. Sorry, I don't want to get too fucking, and I'm going to tell you every minute of the goddamn thing, but. Orange County, some out. Some balls. Oh yeah, he's fucking, you know, he told me that show, they get like 250,000 listeners a day. Corolla's fucking podcast. And he said they average 1.3 million listeners a week. Can you fucking believe that? Jesus, every 52 weeks in a year. That's a fucking lot of people, man. I couldn't fucking, that was crazy shit. But he's just like, I even told him, I was like, dude, thanks for giving me a shout out to Adam, dude. That was really cool. And he was like, oh, he goes, I know what you're doing. He's like, I know exactly what you're trying to do. He's like, keep doing it. He's like, people like you. People are talking about you. He's like, just keep showing your face around. I was just going, I like to keep showing my face around. He said, he's like, come do the show. We got a show two weeks in Long Beach. He's like, I'm going to need help. So come out. And I was like, all right. So not this Saturday, but the weekend after. Brandon, if you're listening, I don't think I might leave work at 4, but I don't have to like take off. I think the show's at like 7. But yeah, so I'll be doing that show too. But that was fun. I'm telling you, I'm fucking getting there, man, little by little. At the same time, you know who's hit me up to work all weekend? Nate Adams wanted me to come out, and he called me fucking Monday, and he was like, what's your schedule like, man? Because he's like, I need you and I want you and Bokes to just fucking like produce a whole segment of this. He really wants us to get our fucking our boots muddy here on this goddamn MMA thing that he's doing. So he wanted me to, I don't know, I might end up working with him this weekend on like Sunday. Because I'm like, dude, I can't really call off work, keep calling off work. You know, I need the money. If they were paying me, it'd be one thing, but I can't. I don't even really, it's getting to the point where I kind of mind a tiny bit working for free, but I can't really, you know, whatever. I can't take off work to do a freebie. I need that money. But, yeah, he was hitting me up, and I was just like, oh, there's only so much free work I can do, guys. But that's that story. So the next day, now Sunday, it's a Saturday night, this all happened. Sunday. Oh, boy. How do I get into this one? I've been trying to Uber drive on Sundays now instead. So I can have Saturday. Well, I had no choice this weekend because I did the Adam thing. But I really didn't feel like driving. It was just, I don't know. I just got it in me. I mean, it's fucking Uber. Like, I have a decent amount. I sure as fuck wish I had a lot more. But like, just like myself, the self-discipline to do that is really, especially in the weekends and you already worked all fucking week. It's fucking hard sometimes. Like, sometimes you just start and you just get in a rhythm and get right into it and you're good. And other times you're just fucking, after just one ride, you're like, I don't want to fucking do this. I just don't feel like it. So my very first fucking ride, I took a guy to the, I started at like noon, I think. And I took a guy to the air. It was a fucking decent fare. It was like $30 my first trip. I'm like, shit, this is starting pretty good. So I'm trying to like come all the way back to the valley to do more pickups because I should have just pulled off and went to Beverly Hills and done it because it's on the way back from the airport. You can't do airport pickups, by the way. You have to have a special permit. You can only do drop-offs. But I got back, and then like no one was really hitting me up. There was no surge, no nothing. And I was just like, it was the middle of the afternoon. I was fucking hungry, and I was like, I want to go eat. I don't know. I want to do something. I was just feeling rascally. I was trying to get, no one's ever fucking around on Sundays. No one. No one I know. No one. My close friends, nothing. No one's ever around on Sunday. Fuck Sundays. It might as well be at a fucking ghost town. So I'm hitting people up, and then, I don't know, somehow or another got in my head to see what old Bruce and Corinne were doing. Because I heard that they're back in town, and they're living with, now let me break this down for you. I've known this gal, Corinne. You've heard us talk about her and Bruce, who looks like Lee Harvey Oswald on fucking Looking Good Radio. And I've known her for 10 years. I met her the first 6 months I was in L.A. And I met her because we went, this is, again, this is 2005. On MySpace, if you were fans of Jimmy Norton, my favorite comic, his manager put a fucking post up on his, like, note section. Remember he used to have, like, the bulletin or whatever on MySpace? And it was like Los Angeles Jim Norton fan, like, we need you. He's on a new show that's taping. And we need people for, like, audience members. We need fucking audience members. So come out and support Jimmy, you know, for free and shit. And it was Lucky Louie, which is Louis C.K.'s first show. And I was like, cool, fucking, this will be fuck. It was over at shitty Hollywood Center Studios in the middle of fucking, like, the slummiest part of Hollywood. It's a really, like, dumpy, it's a fucking shitty studio. And I'm like, oh, cool, man, I'll fucking hook up with some, because I don't know, it's like that fucking Full Metal Jacket. Anywhere you go in the world, when you meet a Marine, he is instantly your brother. Like, if you meet O&A, especially if you're, far-flung, you're, like, automatic friends. And that's how I met fucking Jordan Bowers, the Penis Powers. Like, I worked on set with him, and I made an O&A reference, and he got it. He's like, oh, we got an O&A fan, and we were, like, instant fucking friends, still friends. But, so I go, and that's where I met her, and she was all fucking rambunctious, and I think she was, like, she might have, who the fuck knows if she really did. She claimed she fucking dated Jimmy, I think she did, back in New York, but she had just moved out here, too, and she still, like, knew him, so she's like, I show up, there's, like, I'm expecting this thing to be fucking mobbed. I'm not shitting you. About five people showed up from this fucking MySpace thing. No one was there. There's like no West Coast O&A fans. And I'm like, oh, but she was there and she was all fucking crazy and like, you know, well, you don't know her if you don't know her, but she's just a very loud, rambunctious center of attention person. And I was like, oh, what's this? But I don't know. She was like fun, whatever. We were having fucking fun. So I think that night, you were supposed to meet Jimmy. So we hung out backstage. We're fucking talking to Jimmy, and I mean, no one knew him back then, really. It was fucking like Louis just hanging around in the same room, and like none of us even said a word to him. We're just all talking to Jimmy. I'm like, I think back now, I'm like, we're just fucking hanging out with like Louis and Jimmy in a fucking room. But he's like, well, there's an after party thing at this fucking bar over on Cahuenga, He's like, why don't you guys go over there, and I'll meet you over there, and we'll shoot the shit. I was like, oh, this is so fucking cool, you know? We're walking over there, and she said something about her roommate Friday. And I was like, Friday what, like the porn star? And she's like, yeah, how did you know? And I was like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? Stop. So the first time I ever saw Friday, 2002, I think, visiting L.A., me and Rusty, first time ever out here. We're staying over at Casey's house. The next morning, he had to go to work. We didn't have a fucking rental car. So we just take a walk down Ventura Boulevard, and I happened to walk by a fucking porn shop. And I was like, well, there was nothing else. It was over in Tarzana, and there was nothing else for a good stretch that looked like anything. So I'm like, well, I'll step in the porn shop. And I'm walking through the aisles, and I see a fucking porn box cover called 18 and Anal. You know, it might have been part 3, part 4. It might even been part 4A in the series. Who knows? But I see this chick on the front, and it was like fucking stopped in my traps. It was like tracks. And it was like shoobop shoobop music playing. And I was like, who the fuck? I think I bought it. I think it was like $25. And I was like, I was like in love. Everyone's got that porn star. Like the first time you see them, you're like, oh my God. There's just like, I mean, they're all fucking hot, but for some reason there's just one every now and again that it's just like you're fucking instantly in love with. Like I was like, she is so fucking cute. And she had a big F tattooed over her pussy. I love that. She was like a fucking superhero or something. I'm like, that's so cool. She's got a big F tattooed on her. It's fucking rad. It was like such a cool calling card, right? So I was in, this is like 02, I was in love with her. Every fucking porno I could find with her, I would find and just fucking milk my fucking, get spooge on my fucking keyboard. Sorry, it's disgusting. But so I loved her. So I flash forward to 2005. Now I find out this is her roommate. I was like, holy shit. I don't think I'd ever really met any fucking porn stars or anything. But she's like, oh yeah. She fucks all my friends. She doesn't care. Now again, at this time I'm living with my fucking ex at the time, so I knew I didn't really think anything was gonna happen. I just wanted to like meet her and be like, holy shit. I wanted to see how hot she was in person. But so 10 years goes by of just like, now Friday would she's all the fucking porn stars are nuts. They're all crazy. Obviously, none of them. They're like wild animals. I always say that they're like taking a feral cat in your house, because you can try to domesticate them as much as you want, but no matter what you do, they're still only one step removed from the wild, and you never know what they're going to do, and they can turn on you at any time. They're a very cagey fucking breed of people. Very undependable, too, you know, for times I've tried to get them in weird fella shit. None of them, I don't think, ever showed up, except he actually blew, and we know how that turned out. But, so over the years, I've had like handfuls of run-ins, because she would sometimes, they would get in a fight and then they wouldn't talk for like a year, or she would disappear. Like at one time she went and moved away to like Washington, like the state of Washington or something, and like she'd come back. I think she lived upstate. She was all over the fucking place, so she'd just come and go every couple of years, and I kind of get to hang out with her. We had her on the podcast once, so like, but like every time I hung out with her, like we always had so much fucking fun. Like she was such a fucking sweetheart. She was such a nerd. She was like one of my mom's friends. She was all like kind of almost like weirdly conservative in a lot of ways. And she like, she fucking knits and like crochet. Knit? What do you knit? You knit? And she does all kinds of just kind of old lady shit. And she was just fucking cute. She's this fucking tiny little thing. Huge fucking, just giant fucking fake tits. And just cute, she had a little pointy nose. I love her. She's a fucking doll. But she was fun, and she would laugh at like everything I say. She thought I was so goddamn funny. She would always tell fucking Corinne how much she liked me, and she'd be like, oh, he says it's so funny, I like him. So like, I think like a couple times we were supposed to like, the closest I ever came was a couple years ago, when they all came over our fucking other apartment over there, Looking Good Radio Studios, the original, and she was getting fucking trashed, and the infamous night when her 16-year-old daughter was there drinking with all of us, getting trashed. And like, we're about to go to fucking bed. Everyone's passed out in the living room. And she's like, oh, you want to go to bed? And I was like, yes, I do. And my fucking, I thought my fucking dick was going to jump out of my pants and fucking run off like that alien that comes out of fucking, what's his name, stomach, an alien. Fuck, I can't remember his name. Shit, that would have been a good reference. Just cock just run across the fucking room. But we're like getting ready to go into bed. And then her fucking daughter's contact lens got all fucked. She didn't have her contact lens solution, and her eye was getting super irritated. It was all red, and her fucking eye was killing her. And she had to like get her, she had to leave to go get the solution. But it was like 12 at night, so they just fucking went home. That was it, dude. Right there, that was like 2 years ago. But so I flash forward now. I ran. That's the story of those two acquaintances for a long time. And the the threatening of her someday fucking around with me. She's fucked and sucked all of fucking Corinne's friends for years. But it's fucking women hate me out here. I don't know. Maybe I'm way uglier than I think I am. I don't know. But I'm having fucking... I'm telling you, I might as well have fucking an eyeball on my forehead at this fucking rate. I don't get it. But, so she's like, yeah, we're staying at her place in Chatsworth. Of course, porn star Chatsworth. She's like, come over, hang out, bring some drink. It's like 7 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh, fuck it. She goes, I'll try to get her to blow you. Which, like, would be great. Obviously, I'd love it. But, like, I just like hanging out with her. I just like wanted to, like, make out with her. I'm like, I just want to fucking just, like, kiss her and shit. So this is, again, this is like 10 years. I'm a fucking huge fan of this fuck. I love this chick. She's like a fucking, she's like a celebrity to me almost. It's fucking stupid, but just, I don't know. Just, she was always one of my favorites. She was such a filthy fuck. She was such a dirty, filthy woman. But I loved her for it. So I go over there and I bought a big bottle. She's like, well, bring something to drink. So I bought a big bottle of Crown or a big bottle of SoCo and a little one. So I drank the little one, the Irish cop size bottle. That was my fucking... That was the party before the party. And I went there with the big bottle. So they're splitting an apartment with Friday, which is... I think it was a no bedroom. Yeah, I think it was like a studio that had kind of a little area that's supposed to be a fucking... It was big enough to have a bed in and a dresser. But, like, I mean, like, literally to fit a bed and a dresser. The edge of the bed touched, like, the edge of the fucking wall. The edge of the opening, which on the other side is the living room. So it's basically a studio with like a little kind of indentation where you could put a bed if you want. There's no walls on it. There's no door. She had a fucking curtain up where her bed is. Like in fucking Jabba's palace when Leia goes to get Han out of the carbonite. How like across the room. Jabba's behind that curtain. It was like that. So Corinne and fucking Bruce are laying on their bed out in the fucking living room area. This place is fucking tiny. It's a small apartment, too. Studio. They're laying on, like, their, like, bed, which is a mattress on the floor playing video games. And I come in. I'm already fucking pretty buzzed, and we're shooting shit. And, like, I don't know. I'm up for some reason. And whenever she's around, I'm just, like, on. And I'm just, like, I come up with shit super. I don't know why. She's just one of those people that just gets me, like, I'm always, like, not on, like, my A game, but I'm extra quick with, like, fucking pretty solid jokes. And I'm just always mean to her and make fun of her. And I just, in front of the room, I just keep hearing, like, hey, I hear a fucking stupid Friday laughing. And I'm like, what is going on here? Where she goes, oh, she's down, because they have an actual balcony patio, too. Because they're up on, like, I don't know, second floor or something. I thought she was out, like, smoking, but she's just in her room on her bed. And she's like, and I'm like, and I keep hearing her laugh. I'm in there for, like, 10 minutes, and I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, are you going to come out? She's like, yeah, I'll come out eventually. And I'm like, so I go to look, and she's, God help me. She's in a super fucking tight t-shirt. And she's laying on her tummy, and I guess she, like, just woke up. It's, like, 7 o'clock at night. She's a fucking stripper. That's her job. And she has another job that I'll tell everyone about, too, that I didn't know about. I mean, I did, but I guess I didn't factor it in. The oldest profession. She's laying on her tum-tum with these, like, almost, like, boy short underwear that are, like, a size too big. So her fucking whole, like, basically ass and her ass cheeks are just hanging out. And, like, she looks so fucking hot. Like, she's in, like, such good, she's fucking, like, she's, like, in great, she's so tiny. She's, like, 5 foot fucking two. She's a little shit. And, like, I just fucking crawl in bed with her. And I'm just, I start, like, rubbing her. I always would give her, like, a fucking massage. And she'd go fucking nuts. She loved it. So I'm all, like, rubbing her shoulders and shit. And I started fucking, like, playing with her hair. And the whole time, Corinne's like, I knew he was going to go in there. Anyway, she just was, like, fucking with me. And, like, I was trying to fuck it up, and I'm like, but just shut the fuck up out there, help me. Stop trying to fucking throw a monkey wrench into this goddamn works. So we're in there, and we're just kind of, I'm like rubbing her and shit, and fucking rubbing her ass, and they fucking start fucking making out. I was like, holy fuck, holy shit, this is fucking happening. And she's like, oh my god, she's like, you have such a good, and I couldn't, like, we're laying in there, this went on for like 45 fucking minutes. We're just like kind of fucking kissing, and like, and she's kind of, and she has a weird thing where she like, She'll jump in, but as soon as like any kind of affection or anything starts really happening, she just like pulls back because she's just been like horrendously abused and shit her whole life. She's fucking very like kind of cagey, but like at first we're like all over each other. Like, she had her fucking arms around me and shit. I'm like, this is fucking awesome, and I just got my hands all over her fucking ass. Then at one fucking point I started fucking like fingering her. I was like, oh my god, can you believe this shit? Like to me, this is what I was saying. This is like the porn version of having of being in a scene with like De Niro to me. Like, she's such a fucking porn like star. Like, if you fucked her, that's co-starring with. That's like co-starring in a scene with porn De Niro. But for this, I have like a walk-on part and some lines with playing with the pussy. That's how I took it. I'm like, this is fucking. I gotta be co-star. I don't want to be a fucking just having a scene with. You know, I want fucking second billing here, motherfucker. So I'm working on it. And she's like, oh my god, she's fucking, she's getting all into it and shit, right? Very weird. There've been a lot of traffic, a lot of miles on that fucking puss. Kids coming out of it, miles of black dick going into it. It was a very weird. I've never felt the pussy like that. It felt like a fucking. I don't know. It was just fucking crazy. But all I wanted to do was I wanted way more to do with it. So I keep kind of trying to go down to fucking eat her out, and she's like no, don't it stinks, it's stinky. And I was like, I have my face in her little shorts. It smelled like a fucking angel's hair. It smelled fucking beautiful. It smelled better than the best fucking air freshener I've ever smelled in my fucking life. You know, it smelled like the first fucking basket of fruit you got after you crawled out of the desert. It smelled fucking, and I wouldn't lie to you guys, and I've eaten stinky pussy. I don't give a shit. I'm a fucking soldier. I'm a Marine. If I'm there to do a fucking job, I get it done. I don't give a shit. It might suck, but buck up and get it done, motherfucker. I'm like, it doesn't so I don't know if she was just trying to like kind of stop me or something, but then she just kind of started drawing more and more back after that. I was like, fuck, I want to eat her pussy so bad. I thought my fucking dick was going to rip out of my fucking jeans like the fucking Incredible Hulk transforming. So I sound like Colin. Incredible Hulk transforming. So that's going on. And then like we keep that one on. And then it culminated with the fucking pussy rubbing and stuff. So I don't know. I could just kind of feel she's just getting a little bit more and more tense and shit. And finally it breaks down that she says the words. She goes, I don't fuck for free. She's like, I never fucked for free. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. And then she goes like, I don't know, I'm going to have a cigarette on the porch. And Corinne's like, yeah, well, she only fucked you for like $1,000. And I was just like, you fucking, like, dope. Like, I thought she, like, kind of liked me. I don't know. I thought we had, not like boyfriend, fucking girlfriend, but I thought we kind of had, like, a thing. We always seemed to. She was always flirting with me. And we're always, like, she's always sitting on my lap and just always, you know, like, she laughed that I was funny, that I was cute and shit. And, I don't know why, but it just like I think it was the culmination of that happening, after just being shot down and stood up, and just fucking I'm like 0 for like 20 fucking 8 right now with women, just absolutely getting my fucking ass ripped, just one after another, and like a good 3 or fucking 4 were like chicks that I was real. We hit it off so classic fucking Luke complaint that we hit it off so good, and then we were fucking just. One or two days of just like 500 texts, just nonstop, like, oh, like just totally hit it off. And then they would just fucking disappear. But a couple of them, like, I really like, the ones that suck are the ones you really like and shit. And like, they're cute and they're like movie nerds, like this kind of stuff, like girlfriend fucking material. And then I'm just like, fuck. And I forgot to add, I'm extra like weird. I'm always weird around the holidays. I'm like extra girlfriendy. That's like my most vulnerable time of the year, from like, after Thanksgiving to like, right till about Valentine's Day, because that's like my most girlfriendy time of the year, where I want someone around, dude. Because I got fucking no family, I got nobody out here, you know. I got no fucking family or nothing, and just like I'm like a fucking woman on her period. I'm so like I lose all my cool and shit. I'm just like, I'm extra prone to just fucking get my little fucking the 1/100th of my fucking heart left. Like what's the guy's name in fucking Revenge of the Sith with the fucking, he's got that little shitty heart inside of him, like he's all android, that stupid heart beating. That's what I got, like General Grievous, that's what I got left. And I'm just like, fucking one after another. And then this, and I was just fucking so like, oh, I was just like devastated. I was like, I'm fucking, so I can't even get, this fucking chick has fucked everything. And she won't even like jerk me off. I was just so fucking like disgusted. I'm like, I suck, she sucks. Everyone out here is a fucking whore. Everyone's like after. There's no like real fucking down to earth fucking people. It's just fucking miserable, man. I mean, on that kind of level of trying to get anything going. I don't know. Maybe just me, but it's just been nonstop since I've been single. It's just been the same shit. It's fucking unreal. But I felt like fucking That Paul Newman. And I just felt like I was like, you fucking dummy. You really thought that she fucking like liked you? She's a fucking hooker. She's a paid hooker. She fucks for $1,000 and like and gets it. Fucking, oh yeah, I had my hands all over her fucking tits. I had my hands up her shirt on her giant tits. Her fucking huge fake tits. I was like, oh my fucking God. I can't believe, and all I wanted to do was to see that fucking F. I wanted to see that fucking tattoo in person. It'd be like fucking seeing Superman's in his suit. But, I felt like fucking just totally duped like fucking Paul Newman in Color Money when he gets fucking hustled by fucking Forrest Whitaker, you hustler. I showed you my ass back there. What more do you want? And he's just like leaning on the wall almost like in tears. I left fucking just so the more soul crushed than I've been. I can't even remember. I wanted to just fucking drive off a cliff. I'm like, this fucking blows. I was so fucking bummed. It was terrible, but like, that's the closest I got. It's probably the closest I'll ever. If it didn't happen there, then that's it. I don't think it's. She doesn't drink either. She didn't really drink or do drugs or anything, so I can't even get her drunk to have her fucking loosen up. She's just. Oh, God. She had the fucking softest hair, too. I was like playing with her hair, and it was like, her fucking hair is so fucking nice. I love girls' hair. Girls' fucking hair drives me nuts. Oh, she was so cute. I was like, fucking just. I could crush her. She was like a little fucking. You know, I was like a fucking monster compared to this bitch. But yeah, that's that. That sucked. That was fucking devastating, man. I felt, oh my God. I felt like shit. But yeah, that's what happened that night. So that's the closest I'll ever get to fucking my favorite porn star ever. I guess at least I got the fucking put a pussy and kiss her. She's so cute. What else do I got here? Screaming Nightmare Wyatt Earp. I stumbled on this thing online. Check out just Google. The Berenstain Bears paradox. Remember when we were growing up, there was a book and a cartoon called the Berenstain Bears. Remember Berenstain Bears? Apparently, the entire time, it was Berenstain Bears, not Berenstain, Stein, which is how 99% of the entire planet remembers it, but Berenstain. And this guy worked out this whole fucking thing with like serious like Pythagorean theorem and like all kind of like math problems of like alternate universes saying that like this Berenstain-Bears paradox is a fucking evidence of like an alternate timeline of that we're living in some kind of alternate future or whatever, because how could so many people remember it as Berenstain-Bears and it's actually Berenstain, the book, everything, but every single person is like, no, it wasn't Berenstain, it was Berenstain-Bears. Apparently it wasn't. And the guy's like, how could this happen? How could this many fucking people? I don't know. He broke it. It's very like scientifically broken down. It was almost kind of fucking freaky. But I think, there's one other. I think there was another mention, something else in an article too. Or there's another like classic one I'd never heard of that everyone was like, what? How the fuck could that be? Isn't that weird? I don't know. Look it up. What the fuck you want from me? This fucking, what am I at here? Oh, cool, man. Now we're already good. The rest is gravy, guys, as long as I give you an hour. there's a new Batman versus Superman trailer. I don't know if I've complained about this yet, but I mean, I've never heard, I fuck DC Comics anyways. I've never, it's hard for me to think of a more unnecessary idea for a movie to come out in my life than Batman versus Superman. How would that work? He's a fucking invincible alien. And fucking Bruce Wayne, Batman's a guy that can fucking punch people pretty hard and has, a fucking grappling hook. So the way they solve it is they make him in a fucking Iron Man costume. Oh, it's so fucking stupid. For God's sakes. Individually, I like Batman and like Superman. And in general, I like the fucking movies. I like Henry Cavill as Superman. I like that Zack Snyder Superman was okay. But, like, this fucking thing just gets worse and worse. You gotta see this fucking new trailer. What's his name? Jesse Eisenberg? Eisenstein? The juiciest name you could possibly think of is Lex Luthor. He's not bald. And this is like the. No one has gotten Lex Luthor right since fucking Gene Hackman. It's almost like trying to fucking. I mean, what's his name did with the Joker? But it's just like, you know, after Nicholson, at least what's his name pulled it off, the fucking dead guy. But no, you just. He just fucking destroyed that Lex Luthor fucking role for everyone after that. Because like, how are you going to top Hackman? And Kevin Spacey fucking stunk. I like Kevin Spacey, but he was in Superman, that last Superman, Bryan Singer one. He did not work, and now this guy looks even worse. The fucking Facebook guy, really? This little fucking twerp is supposed to be the greatest mind that mankind has ever known? What is it? The greatest criminal mind on the planet? So I'm like, oh, him? And now there's this thing where, like, they bring back, and now everyone's super pissed because they said, like, they just gave away the whole movie in this trailer. I guess they bring back Zod, and he turns into, I think he might turn into Doomsday? The guy that fucking killed Superman at the time, that famous fucking comic line from the early 90s, where everybody gave a shit about Superman for, like, a week. I think they're fighting this, like, big monster. So him and Batman have a little dust-up, and then they join forces to fight, I'm guessing, Doomsday. A Doomsday-looking thing, and, like, they bring back, but at one point it shows fucking General Zod from the last one in like, a coffin, and it shows, like, Lex Luthor, like, taking him into, like, a hospital room, so they revive, whatever. But, like, I don't know who this woman is. I'm guessing she's some other shit fucking DC Comics character. They had a lot of really lame, stupid ones, like a Wonder Woman and the Flash, very anachronistic characters, Marvel fans, that were just very silly out of a child's story. All right, I know you want to bust my balls because I had Thor, who was nothing more than a Greek god that I just made into a superhero. He had a big hammer, and he would smash all kinds of shit with it and hit people and hammer nails in his house if he had to. But, fuck that window. Sometimes Stan can't improvise. I try to dig something up, but there's only so much funny shit you can say about, you know, Thor that wasn't in the Marvel Studios skit. So she's some other shitty DC character, and she looks like a Xena warrior princess. Like, they were filming it next door, and she walked off the set and is in this movie. Like, this awful-looking... She's got, like, a shield and a sword. And, like, she's, like... You just see her standing there with, like, Batman and Superman. And she's gonna help them fight this thing. And fucking Batman's like, is she with you? And Superman's like, no, I thought she was with you. And then all three of them go, like, charging. And I'm like, who is this awful-looking, fucking stupid character that looks like she walked out of fucking Spartacus? I didn't know this movie could possibly look any worse or more stupid, but it does. Why? There was a reason it was in development hell for 20 fucking years that no one can get Batman for. They've been trying to make this fucking thing since, like, 92. It's been floating around because it's fucking unadaptable. It's dumb, and there's no reason for it. A Batman-Superman team-up would be cool, but, like, yeah, they're going to fight each other. Like I said, it'd be like the fucking Punisher fighting, like, the Hulk. How's that going to work? Is he going to fucking shoot him with a fucking... 38 caliber? Yeah, that's gonna stop him. Get the fuck out of here with this shit. What else we got in this motherfucker? There's new Mr. Shows out on Netflix. They only did 4 episodes. What the fuck? That was a season? 4 episodes? Really? 20 fucking years we've been waiting for this thing? But, like, Mr. Show, When it was on HBO originally in the 90s, was like, fucking, like, changed my life. Like, I'd never seen, like, the first fucking, I didn't even know what it was. It was like channel surfing. I think I was in 9th fucking grade with that Keep the Change skit and, like, Ronnie Dobbs. Like, the first, like, 2 or 3 episodes are still, like, the fucking godfather of, like, sketch comedy. Like, they're still fucking as funny as, like, the day they came out. They're fucking hilarious, like, timeless. And they just, like, warped. Like, that was, like, one of the things that just really warped. That in the state really fucking just, like, it just broke me. I didn't like any kind of mainstream shit. I just like weird fucking stuff. You know what else I was thinking of, too? I totally forgot about this. I wanted to talk to Tom Arnold about it. He did this one-hour HBO special once where it was just him. And Chris Farley was in a bunch, but it was, like, a bunch of just kind of skits tied together. And the whole thing was based about how, what was this called? I think it was called, like, The Awful Truth or The Ugly Truth. And the whole thing starts out, it was when he was married to Roseanne. And they get in a big fight in the beginning, and she's like, "You get out of the house," and she kicks him out of the house, and he spends the whole show trying to, like, get her back, and he gets in all these little, like, dumb misadventures. But it was, like, really funny, and it was all, like, fucking, I don't know, it was all, like, skit. But I remember I had it on fucking VHS, and I was telling everybody about it, and, like, it went around the whole school. I let somebody borrow it, and they're like, "Hey, can I let," they were done with it, like, "can I let fucking Jimmy watch it?" And, like, everyone was, like, quoting it, and then everyone I knew that seen it, we would just, like, say fucking lines from it to each other. It was, like, it was so fucking funny. I loved it. But, good for Tom Arnold. I wonder who fucking wrote on it. I think it was him and, I don't know. Chris Farley was in one, but it was really fucking funny. Anyways, I mean, I wouldn't be spending thousands of dollars and putting all his time in a dumb sketch comedy if it wasn't for, like, Mr. Show. And it's like, the new season's, like, the first episode was fucking rough. Like, they save it. Like, I've made a comparison. It was like watching a comedian bomb for, like, 8 minutes, but had, like, an amazing fucking closure. Like, the last, like, two were funny. But they saved the whole episode in, like, the last 10 minutes, because it was fucking pretty bad. I was like, God, these kids suck. But, like, they got the whole old, like, crew back and everything. And I was almost just, like, they were so hit or miss. They were either so funny you couldn't even comprehend how fucking great it was, or just so bad. You're like, how the fuck did this make it out of the editing room? Like, this is so terrible. But it's like the weird, like, little things, like him, Bob, like, it'll just be some weird little random shot, or just the most, like, just random shit, and it will make you laugh. Just some dumb face that he makes or something that you can't write. It's just either him or David just coming up with something stupid that just will just make me laugh so fucking hard. Be like, no one, there's no way you could even, like, thought of that. They just did it on the day. But a couple of them were so fucking funny, man. I was like, they have that goddamn, that, like, 2 days later funny where you watch it, you're like, oh, that's a pretty good idea. And then, like, you're just, like, walking around in, like, Walmart, and you just start, like, fucking, like, you're laughing at so hard you're shaking at, like, nothing. And you look like a fucking lunatic because you're just, it just popped in your head how goddamn funny it was. They have it. It's like a fucking time delay. But I was just almost depressed watching it, because, like, I don't have anything that's close to as funny as any of these fucking things. Like, I want to, like, be these guys so bad, but I just fucking not. Why did I tell? Who cares? Fuck. Who gives a shit about the sketch comedy that inspired me? No one needed to hear that. That was kind of a non-story. I guess it was good just to say, if you don't know, that if you were an old Mr. Show fan, it's called With Bob and David. It's on Netflix, and you can watch it. But the slave one, the slavery one, was fucking... He plays the old fucking slave master. He's like, you don't know nothing about nobody know how, do you? And the black guy's getting all nervous. It was fucking funny, man. But I don't know. Watch him. And tell him they're funny. I don't know. What the fuck am I going to do, man? I'm not a fucking soothsayer. I might be out of stuff. You know, I was fucking doing my laundry yesterday, or 2 days ago. And, like, I just lose... Shirts just disappear in this fucking place. It's like it's fucking haunted, and just a ghost just fucking snatches it. It's gone. Last time I fucking lost my Ron and Fez shirt. It was $30. I had to get it in the fucking mail. And, like, I can't... They're 100% cotton. Either the extra large is too big, or the large is just right. But if I dry it, it'll shrink. So I got to take a large and then just never put it in the dryer ever. I got to just let it air dry. So, like... I get this fucking Ron and Fez shirt. I fucking love this shirt. And I left it on the... I go to put my shit, all the other clothes I was going to dry, in the dryer, and left this one shirt hanging on the washer door so I wouldn't forget it. I go over, I throw my shit in the fucking dryer. I come back 2.5 minutes later, the fucking thing's gone. Somebody fucking snatched it. I'm like, who? No one knows who fucking Ron and Fez are. How do you just grab a random person's wet t-shirt and steal it? What kind of fucking scumbag would even wear that? Are you that fucking broke? You gotta snatch somebody's fucking laundry, you fucking assholes. So they took that one, so I had to buy it again, which I still have it now. But then I got this fucking Corolla shirt, and no one's in the goddamn place. It was like a Monday night at like fucking 9, and I accidentally left, I live fucking 100 yards from this laundromat, and I accidentally left the fucking Corolla shirt. No one's in this fucking place, hanging on the washer door again. I was like, don't forget to grab the shirt on the way out so you can take it, you know, so I couldn't have it end up in the dryer. So I was just going to take it home with me and hang it up while the shit was in the dryer. I left it, I come back fucking 10 minutes later, it's gone. It just disappeared. I'm like, who the fuck would take the shirt? Why is it gone? How could it still not be hanging here? You take somebody's fucking random wet shirt. What the... Take somebody's random wet shirt, you motherfucker! Chris Rock got my car. All right, okay. That's what I walked on the laundromat like Denzel. Took my shirt, right? Okay, all right. And I just fucking pulled out a gun. Fucking bullshit. I'm so mad. I mean, I can get another one of those. I'll just take one when I do merch. But it's like the fucking principality, Smokey. Fucking take my shirt. Fuck you. Fucking scumbags. I'll fucking buy you a shirt. Tell me what you want, I'll fucking buy it. Just don't take mine. Some of these are like hard to get. It's not like I walked into fucking Old Navy and fucking bought one of their shitty shirts and you took it.
to the grand and metals like a